morning, Patriots. So today is, I think today and tomorrow are the last days of that cyber conference. Make sure and tune in. I've heard rumor, there's, you know how the rumors are, but I do hear that they're going to be making some bigger announcements, and they've done pretty well on that cyber conference at frankspeech.com. Listen to Mike Lindell. Listen to Mike Lindell's comment on Frank Speech.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm coming to you with the most important commercial that I've ever done. All of you know what MyPillow and myself have gone through in the last 5 months in my efforts to bring the truth forward. Well, it's all come down to this. I'm having a cyber symposium on August 10th, 11th, and 12th. This historical event will be live streamed 72 hours straight on my new platform, frankspeech.com. You can help by getting everybody you know to go to frankspeech.com now. To help support this cyber symposium event, I am offering some of the best prices ever on MyPillow products, but they're only offered at frankspeech.com. Go to frankspeech.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive MyPillow offers. Thank you and God bless.
So frankspeech.com, your promo code is BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. You can also use that at mypillow.com. BARDS is your promo code. 800-975-2939. 800-975-2939. All of that information is below the podcasts. Mike Lindell has done an amazing job of supporting this country. And then as he has supported this nation, he has literally been fighting this war by selling pillows. His epic quote yesterday was, or day before, one of the two, whenever he started this, was, "They consider me the most dangerous man in America." He says, "I sell pillows," which is awesome. Apparently selling pillows now makes you a terrorist. God bless him, seriously. So let's continue to give him the support. And then August 26th, August 29th, you know what I'm going to say, because you know exactly what this is. August 26th, August 29th is Bards Fest. Bards Fest is now built on the donations and generosity of each person. Someone wrote yesterday, they didn't quite understand. It's like, is it all free? And it's like, it is given, it is built by patriots. You know, and that's the whole thing, is that we have a donation button set up on the page at bardsfest.com. And if you're donating, your donations are greatly appreciated. We want you there. We don't want the barrier of the tickets to be the cost issue. We want you there. And is an appropriate way of doing this? This is a revival. This is God's event. So whatever you feel compelled to give is what's going to drive this event. And it builds the relationship with us all together, building this for God. That is the principle behind this. So it's a great event. We're excited. You can go to bardsfest.com, and there's many different categories which you can place your donation when you click on that. We greatly appreciate everything that everybody's doing. It's humbling. It's wonderful. It's coming together in a beautiful way. And it's the way that I truly believe the way God would want it. Not selling a ticket to his event, but being able to come together as patriots as we choose. So that said, we are in a time right now when there's going to be, obviously, the closer we get, I would suspect that we're going to be raising the ire of the left. So let's keep our prayers up as well. This event is going forward, and much more to come on all the things happening. We'll be doing some updates today on the schedules of the website, where you can start to see who's doing what by what hour. The greatest thing about now, we're consolidated into one space. We're not going to be in both spaces. And in so doing, the space we're in is both an outdoor and an indoor space. Amazing amount of space that we have to work with. And the beauty of that is that everybody's going to get a chance to be together. You're not going to miss anybody by being in one location or another. It's quite a lineup. It really is. So there you have it. So bardsfest.com. Head on over there. support us with your donations, which is really like an investment into the future of the nation's faith. And that's really it, because that's what this is all about, recentering the nation on the foundation of God and the love of God and putting God back on the throne above all things. 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed we, by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, but that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us to the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are good of courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord, so that whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's an important point that we know, but I don't think we realize until often it's tested. It's kind of like being given a choice of two things. And we'll say that on one hand, you're given a choice in a dark path that's ahead of you at night. You're given a choice of a light, say like a jar of fireflies. Or you're given a choice of God's word. That choice is a choice that people have to make almost every day. What will you choose? If we're walking by faith, the light on the path is irrelevant. What we need is God's word all the time. And it's what guides us through these darkest times. One thing about Scripture is we need to be in Scripture regularly, dedicating time each and every day. And in so doing, as we get into Scripture, we're given the tools that God has provided for us to walk through this life as we trust in faith and not by sight. Our sight is a trickery. What we see is not all that is there. And yet, what happens when we tie our sight with our thoughts is it becomes a fixed moment, a fixed place in time. Concept of quantum is that all realities exist simultaneously at one moment. That is one principle of quantum theory. So there's an infinite number of realities that exist, and they coexist simultaneously until we look at one. And when we look at one, we now are fixed into that one reality. And all the other realities cease to exist. Now think about that a minute on the importance of controlling information and controlling the perception of what's around us. This matrix that we're in, this Luciferian-run matrix, works overtime to try to force a singular way of thinking. Science is one of those things that it is absolutely, it has absolutely become, especially in medical science, the trust and in their word as in a religion. It is not a point of debate. One of the greatest ironies of this is that when we talk about faith, we discuss God's word. We can have different interpretations even within the Scripture. We put it to the test in life. There is an empirical process with faith and God's word that we are using all the time. And God expects that. He doesn't expect blind obedience, and yet that's what so many are doing, is blind obedience. Worse yet is that the society, which was put as a society built under God's rule, that's our moral law, that's what the Declaration of Independence established. That whole concept right there was also about us being engaged, using our knowledge and our ability to question, our reason, to press into the world. If we have scripture as the first and foremost thing we do, God still expects us to ask questions, to go into the world and to challenge things and to see what happens. And that's how we learn and engage. And with the scripture, it provides a certain boundaries of things that are acceptable and things that are not. And there are certain things that are not only unacceptable, there are things that are like bad, really bad, like sort of bad. When you do them, you become Sodom and Gomorrah, meaning you become an incinerated pool of nothing. Or maybe bad like Jericho, where you were really bad and we decided to drop the walls and God had your heads all cut off. So there was a boundary of things. There's a boundary of things that we are not to be doing. But within the boundary of things that God has opened up, God shows us these many things. And as who we are, as humans, we test that. And at times we get to be stubborn, like penchant children, and we ignore God. That's an ongoing cycle through the growth of humanity. But every time we ignore God, we learn harsh lessons. Maybe those lessons are like Habakkuk, where you witness the suffering of your whole society over time, the lack of ability to take back control because the center point of your society is faith and nobody believes enough in God. We're right now at a very critical cusp in our time. Which way will we go? And that's the big question. Which way will we go? Are we going to go down a path where we, the few, have to suffer through the misery of the many because there weren't enough that stood up truly in God's, to God and to God's light, and to really stand up and be bold to lead the nation? And in so doing, a nation walked itself off the cliff. Or are we in a time more like Esther, where the commitment of the few, even unto death, in the dutifulness to God, is so profound, so deep, and so absolutely committed to Him, that in the process, a people finally awaken and take on the responsibility of defending themselves and reawakening the power of God? That last point is very critical, because in Esther stands up and it says that she will make this challenge even unto death. In so doing, as her people fasted, though the story doesn't specifically say this, the implication is that they became aware of her dedication and in the process reclaimed their strength in their faith. There is so much to say there about the need for a nation to see strength. And if we don't see it and don't understand it, we don't know how to accomplish it. And I say that because in a time that we are in, such as this, so much has been lost in understanding of what strength is. I was on an interview yesterday at American Media Periscope, which, by the way, should be up today on their front page somewhere. And I was asked the question, how are you continuing in a time when events like this, events like Bard's Fest, are not being allowed? And it's an odd question for me, not an odd question for others. And it was a good question to answer, not a question. I have no judgment on the question, so be very clear about this. It was a good question to ask, because so many are seeing that and believing that. They're believing that well, you know, we can't assemble as Christians anymore. They don't want us to assemble. We have to, we're being shunned. Well, if that's the case, then it means you need to do it twice as hard. Our First Amendment guarantees that we have the right and freedom to assemble. And the Declaration of Independence declares that we have moral law above all things, which is that our rights are unalienable. They are given to us by our Creator, meaning that no one can take them away except God. So if we don't comply to our rights and duties as citizens, which is to defend that right that God gave us, we will simply lose it. And therein lies one of the great tricks of this whole game. It's a bit of sleight of hand that the Luciferians understand very well. All they have to do is convince you that as a Christian, God will take care of everything. And the minute you accept that in full, that God will take care of everything, and you accept that you don't have to do anything, you just lost. It's that simple. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, do nothing and God will provide. Nowhere in Christ's teachings does it say, do nothing and God will provide. Quite to the contrary. We have always been required to do the work. But as we've accepted this place that I can do nothing, I just need to be to myself, walk a very quiet path, say little, and sit to the side as the steamroller rolls down the street, we've now handed over the keys to whoever wants to rule the kingdom. And this gets even worse when we get to a place like this where, as we've continued to allow whatever to happen, and I literally mean whatever, we're now at a place where the Luciferians are literally have the keys to the kingdom. They have the genetic code. And they're in there manipulating those codes for their benefit. That's what this injection does. It's a gene-altering injection. It's messing and screwing with God's perfection and code, God's connection with us. This is the deadliness of the whole thing. If you can't see that, then you're not appreciating the magnitude of what's happening. And in messing with God's code, there has to come a point that God has to take us to do something to shut it all down. I don't know what that something is. What I do know is that through Scripture, through Old Testament, we learn of things that are bold about wrath. We hear of the plagues with Moses, or the flood with Noah, or the destruction of cities like Sodom and Gomorrah, or the destruction of Jericho by Joshua's army, or the beheading of the giant by David. These stories have that edge of mortal violence with them, which is a reminder that this is a constant war. And while we don't seek that sort of violence, the fact of the issue is this. If we are going to walk blindly and assume that it will never happen, history tells us otherwise. If we have become lost and wandering and God's trying to bring us home, there are many things that can roll in to do just that, to squeeze. We could be subjective to being overrun by a foreign power and have to live for a generation, two, three, four, or five under foreign rule to truly learn the pain of walking away from him. And that's just one of many examples. The problem we have in this day and age is that as these decisions now are being made, and they are being made each day by where people are going to stand, the decision factor now rests within a needle and a syringe. A syringe filled with the elixir of the Luciferian hell. The choice you have to make is whether you're going to walk by sight or by faith. When you're walking by sight, you're seeing what they want you to see. You don't ask questions. You don't dig in. You see a reporter with a mask when you have people around them dancing around without any, and you hear the reporter say, masks are important, and as foolishly you believe what's before you rather than looking at the context of the event. When someone says, this injection will not cure anything, but it'll relieve the symptoms, you hear, the injection will save me, rather than realizing that what they just told you is you're putting something in your body that does nothing for you. Nothing for you that bed rest, some water, and a Tylenol will save. May be able to cure. All of that is centered on the narcosis of fear. And in the narcosis of fear, people cease to see and their faith goes away. What they see is what they want to see in the narcosis of fear. They don't see clearly anymore. And whatever is given to them, they believe. And worse than they believe, they begin to build fantasies and stories and mountains out of nothing. In that state of fear, that narcosis of fear, I can tell you, I can say things to you like, on the other side of that rock, as you climb that mountain, there's a pit of vipers, and it's so big and so wide that if you aren't careful, you're going to fall within it. Most people never make it past there. But you could go the other route, and it's a vertical climb. It's very dangerous, but you'll be safer. The easiest route of the mountain might be that one that stands right before you with a boulder that's there, and all you have to do is walk around the boulder and you're up. But rather than even inspecting it, rather than going around the backside of the boulder, those that are in that state of fear won't even look. They'll just believe what I just said. There's a pit of vipers and you're going to fall within. And they never check it out. And so they climb the vertical climb and many die. When we walk by faith, when we put God deep in our heart and we walk by that walk of faith, it's that constant choice between whether we need a light for the trail or whether we need Scripture. I'll always take Scripture. Here's an exercise that I do regularly because I enjoy it. When I get up each day, I get up in the dark. I mill around without lights. And I get to know my environment by what is there and what not by what my eyes tell me is there. It's an exercise and a discipline that I've just put myself through in my life each and every day because it's a reminder that we can see all we need to see through faith. It seems like a trivial thing, but it's an important way that I begin my day every day. Because when we immediately jump on, we hit the lights and we have to see everything. What is it that we're having to see that we don't already know is there? Did suddenly overnight, did you get up in the middle of the night and put your shoes in the middle of your walkway? Did you rearrange your furniture in your sleep? What changed? And the answer is nothing changed. But each day we need to be able to see so that we can trust what our eyes show us. But why? What has changed? The answer is nothing has changed, but we don't have the confidence to walk without having light show us all the details of the path. In truth training in martial arts, at certain levels, you train with your eyes closed or blindfolded. You have to learn to trust your senses. You have to learn to feel your environment. You have to learn to engage in your world with faith. The These are all things that we need to reclaim the power of our trust in God. And perhaps some of these exercises somebody wants to do, maybe they don't. You might even find them to be trivial. But small reminders of the power of who we are and what God has given us are important each day. Our eyes are a gift, and yet they're equally a massive burden. If we're not going to use our eyes to see clearly and question what's before us, then all they become are agents of obedience. And as agents of obedience, we are not going to get very far. We are intended to be a people that gets into the world, engages in the world, and questions. Again, God doesn't expect us to just obey. That is ironically up to that the way that we are taught faith these days is you are to obey the word and say nothing. Our interaction with God and how we work in the world and ask questions in terms of scripture help us grow. And that's where the Bible becomes something that as we engage with it, it engages with us and ends up reading us. And if we don't continue that process, then we become easily fooled and deceived. And I think that's pretty much what has happened in our world. As the teachings of faith have become about obedience, not obedience to God, there's a big difference here. Obedience has gone to another level. Obedience of God and obedience through Christ is expected. But that doesn't mean that as we read scripture, we don't ask questions, challenge that in the world to see how it works. Second Corinthians 5:11, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about toward appearance, boast about outward appearances, and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. A key word is we have concluded. How do you conclude if you don't question and test? There's an empirical nature to this, not just a blind obedience. And there are powerful passages as we read them that will carry us and be very powerful in the world that we are. One again, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Those are words that we can say over to ourselves many times, and they will mean different things over the course of our lives. If you're walking on a top ridgeline on a very steep mountain in the middle of the night that has a drop off to either side, and you decide that that's a good time to walk blindfolded, there might be some consequences to that. It's not that the faith won't guide you, but God might also let you make a wrong step just to learn something that sometimes your eyes are a good thing to have. So there's a point of common sense in all of this. Another piece so lacking in the current day. We somehow cannot seem to get our head around the fact that we are expected to think our way through problems as much as we are to have faith in the walk that we have. It's a rather amazing moment to sit where we all are when we can look across at this bifurcated world and we are sitting on one side of the fence where we have faith in our heart. We are walking with faith. And because of that, we see clearly with our eyes. And there's the key connection is we put faith forward, for we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that deeply mean? Well, one of those things that's very critical to comprehend is that by putting faith first, our eyes now become an agent of discernment, not an agent of obedience. When we put sight first, we become obedient to what we see. When we put faith first, it allows our eyes to identify what needs to be questioned. Again, they become agents of discernment. And that in itself is a profound moment when we walk this way, because now things aren't easily put before us that can deceive. When we put our faith and our love in God first among all things, and someone stands up with a mask and says, you're going to die, you must put on this mask or you can die, or you're going to be a murderer if you don't put on a mask. Just in the context of Scripture, that makes no sense. The first thing that someone should ask, even if they're not well-read in Scripture, most people know the story of Moses. And it would be simple. It would be a simple question. When they had the plague in Egypt, did they all mask up? God gave us the beauty of who we are, and the courage to walk in this world, to be who we are, to be that perfection that he intended. We all know we have a time here, whatever that time is. Their biggest fear that they like to manipulate is that somehow death will take you away. And for us, that should be almost a laughable moment. It's more like this is a response. Yes, death is going to take me away and set me free. But when we are walking with the emphasis of sight, what we are fixated on is what we begin to worship in all things. We become attached to this world. And now go back to where I discussed at the beginning, the idea of a quantum soul. All states of reality exist in every moment, simultaneously, until we see one and identify it and worship it. And in that state like that, what is most profound is that the more that you focus on a single point within the quantum plurality, the less the others even exist. The world and reality in which this order wants you to understand is that God is dead, that they are there for you, and that they are there for to save you. And in so doing, they are fixating everybody's vision, understanding, and limiting it to a world in which they are creating, in which people are seeing, and people begin to worship and believe as the only way there is. This point now is the question of what people will continue to see and what they will begin to have faith in. So our walk ahead is not a difficult one. It's really an enjoyable walk, knowing a couple of things. I'm going to die. That's a given. I'm okay with that. I'm here to do a mission that God asked me to do as who I am. No matter the risks to move forward in that mission, no matter if it costs me my life, because my life, I'm not of this world. They will do what they can do to harm you if they have a choice. But if we don't stand and we give them control, they will own you in every level of your soul. There's an interview that was posted on Gateway Pundit, I believe, yesterday. And it was an interview with Joe Rogan. by the woman who escaped. In fact, matter of fact, it was posted on August 12th at 1 a.m. So early this morning. And it's an interview with a woman who escaped from North Korea. And she talks in the second interview of the tortures in which they will do to people to break them to the point that they will drive people crazy and ultimately get them to say anything that they want. An obedient society will end up in a state like that, and the state will assume so much control over them that there will be no freedom. But the amazing thing is in the story, and I don't know her situation of faith, but she talks about leaving North Korea and the amount of faith that it took just to walk blindly up a mountain and over mountains. And the metaphor of what she gives is profound because it's not even necessarily intended as she speaks it, and yet it's very scriptural. And she talks about seeing lights on the hill. And it's that is which draws her. And so she travels the mountains to seek the light. And there you have it. Whether by metaphor or by physical action, we become that light, that beacon on the hill that will drive the many and pull the many that seek. Faith is one of those things that when it becomes activated, it overwhelms the soul, and it draws people in. And even when they think that they're walking by sight, they are actually drawn by faith. This is a profound moment in time. It's going to take an enormous amount of courage. It's going to take a place in time where we have to literally commit fully, if we haven't already, to this walk forward, where faith has to be the leading agent. And when we truly step into that place of faith, where we truly turn over to God and we say, guide me no matter what, I trust in you. You have no idea what's going to happen the next moment. And this is where you let go. From one moment to the next, your entire perception of the world or what you think you're doing could change. And instead of being resistant to it, instead of having anxiety and fear to it, you step into wherever God places you. That's ultimately at the core of walking by faith and not by sight. And so here we are again, back to this moment in time where people are having to make a decision of their jobs, what they're doing, of what their station in life is, to make that decision or to take an injection. These are decision points. Each person must now face. No one can sit in the middle. And when this is over, no one will sit in the middle. You'll be on one side or the other. You won't get a choice of walking the middle ground because the middle ground itself will be a decision and it won't be for God. We are in a profound moment that even when you think it's impossible, when you're sitting here looking at what's ahead of you and you say, I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage. I don't know what's going to happen if I lose my job. This is now your choice, your decision point. Do you walk by faith or by sight? When we take that leap of faith, it doesn't say it's going to be easy. And the most challenging part about that is hearing where God wants us. And sometimes where he guides us is that we need to stumble a bit before we can hear what he has to say. But again, it's the true path of believing in him, to let him take us wherever that may be, and to trust that where he has us is where he needs us. And if we're true to that path, he will lead us to places we've never imagined. When I look back on my life and the paths that I've walked and where God has placed me, I've definitely walked a wandering path. And yet within that seeming chaos of a path, There is a perfect line that God created that is clear when I look back now to see why each step he had me do, each thing, to be at a time such as this. That's God's perfection. And in much of that path, I didn't give total faith to him. I thought I was doing things. I thought I was making decisions. And yet God was allowing that, allowing me to bump and fall. But when we truly let go of that and God guides us, that path as he has will be perfect in the end, even though it may not be perfect to us. Our greatest limitation is how much we are willing to let go of what we attach ourselves to. The material world in which we are in is a trap. And again, it's not that God expects us to be walking on a street naked with a pair of handmade sandals or something. What God wants us to do is to put him first in all things. And so it comes down to a simple test like this. If you were Locke and the angel came to your door and said, you need to get your family out of here and leave immediately and only carry on your back what you need, the question is, would you hesitate? He who walks by faith and understood the moment would not. Those that are attached to the physical world will. And that's an exercise probably worth doing once in a while to test yourself, to see what in your life you are truly attached to. It's a powerful moment when you have to make those decisions. A certain way, it recommits ourselves to God in another way. It teaches us deeply about who we are. And it opens our eyes to the deeper relationship to what God has for us and has in store for us, an inheritance that we can't even begin to comprehend. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we come together each day to reflect, to hear the wisdom that you pass through us through Scripture and your words, to build fellowship and to build our strength in faith. Lord, we pray for the many that are wandering, that are trying to see their path forward rather than to reach out to you and let you guide them through faith. We pray for ourselves as a remnant, that we may continue to put more and more faith in you and less reliance on our sight, to use the tools of vision as a way to discern and question, not as tools of obedience and submission. Lord, we ask for this time the greater strength of discernment in all things, as we are surrounded increasingly by the deceptions and the pressures of compliance and enslavement, that we can see those clear paths ahead of us, to have them be visible in ways that allow the many to hear and to see a way out of the traps that they seem to have put themselves in. We are all pressured in this time, Lord, as the walls seem to be closing in upon us, seem to be squeezing us into a formation that of comply or die. But we know that none of that matters, because through our love of you and the sacrifice of your Son, we have been given everlasting life. So guide us, direct us, lift us up. Allow us to see the path ahead, to find the strength in our faith. And in so doing, honor you and our Savior King, Jesus Christ. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So have a blessed day, Patriots. I'll see you this evening for Bards FM. Tonight we have Pastor Dave from his what is the name of his show? His glory. Sorry, just drew a blank. It's Pastor Dave from His Glory. It'll be a great show, so I look forward to bringing it to you. He's going to be speaking at Bard's Fest as well. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Keep your prayers focused. Focused in that connection to God. All eyes on Christ. Because it's through there that we gain our greatest strength in this walk. We must walk by faith now, more than ever. For God is with us. He'll always protect us. And in the end, God wins. So I'll see you this evening or until the next time. God bless. And out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're riding your hand in mine. Freedom, the song we're humming. You can't stop the storm from. What the night knows. There's a